Now, you were promised horror at the start of this half hour, so here it is.
To the devil, a daughter.
Te adoro et te invoco.
They've got Catherine. We've got to get her back before it's too late.
An excerpt from the 1976 Hammer horror film To the Devil a Daughter, starring Christopher Lee. Well, the film was based on the thriller by Dennis Wheatley, published in 1953. And to coincide with Halloween, Dennis Wheatley, once called the Prince of Thriller Writers, who sold more than 50 million copies of his books worldwide, outselling Agatha Christie at the time of his death, is returning in ebook and also in print form. 20 titles are being published as ebooks worldwide by Bloomsbury Reader, with three of Wheatley's most famous thriller and gothic occult works, The Forbidden Territory, The Devil Rides Out, and To the Devil a Daughter, also in paperback. Well, I'm joined in the studio by Dominic Wheatley, Dennis's grandson, and by Charles Beck, who runs the Dennis Wheatley website. Welcome, both of you.
Morning.
Nice to see you both. Why now, Dominic?
Well, you know, I think they say that very often authors need a sort of a fallow period after they pass on. And typically it's 30 to 40 years. Now, he died in 77. I was actually out in Trab and Trabark at the time learning about wine, which he'd organised for me.
Yes.
Because he was originally
a wine merchant.
Absolutely. And so he died while I was out there, so I was 18. And from that moment onwards, really, the books started to decline in sales. Clearly, if an author's dead, he's not promoting himself, and Dennis was an extremely good self-promoter, as we know. He never went past a bookshop without diving in and signing all his books for the book. Absolutely.
Patricia appeals at that sort of thing.
Yeah, I did the same thing. and of course, I inherited the copyrights, essentially. And I didn't know what to do with it over the years. I personally am in the video games world, I'm not actually in books, so I didn't know what to do. But finally, Bloomsbury actually approached an agent, and we said, yes, absolutely, let's do it.
Charles, what was his appeal? Why did he grip you as a reader?
I think the reason that he gripped people was, first of all, because he could tell an extremely good story. He was a very, very professional writer. But secondly, he was one of the first novelists who really researched his books. So, for example, if he was writing an occult book like The Devil Rides Out, he went and met all of the key and generally quite unsavoury people, the Aleister Crowleys, who was supposed to be the wickedest man in the world, a defrocked Catholic priest, etc. He really did his homework.
Patrick Basham, I think you are a fan, am I right in saying?
Sorry, he just went to the restroom.
I do apologise. I'm waiting for Patrick to to reappear to his microphone. He will do that, in no doubt, in a moment. Let's stick with the draw, then, if I may, Charles, of why he appealed to you and why he might appeal to a modern day reader.
I think the reason he appealed to me was, first of all, he wrote many novels on different subjects, on wartime, etc. But he's most famous for his black magic novels, and I think those were the hook for many people, including me. They dealt with things like sort of reincarnation, with sort of powers between, sort of beyond yourself, which were terribly, terribly romantic and exciting. And all of them would make sort of terrifically good films with CGI, etc. And I can't wait until the day when we see another Christopher Lee come and play another Duke de Richelieu.
So that's where this might lead, Dominic.
Well, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? I mean, he nearly had a film made by Hitchcock. They were good friends. And unfortunately, never happened. Fleming, of course, you know, had Broccoli doing the Bond movies, and that kept that franchise alive. And unfortunately, Dennis never had it. Did have a couple of Hammer House movies, which were slightly sort of B plus, not legally. Yeah.
Now, Patrick Basham has returned. I went to Washington a little prematurely a moment ago, but you are, I think, a fan of Dennis Wheatley.
Yes, I mean, in no small part because I think I'm correct in saying that he was an inspiration for Ian Fleming and the Bond.
Yes, lots of books. Nodding to that in the studio.
Yes, and the other thing is, I mean, given my strong libertarian bent, my understanding is that Mr. Wheatley's, I don't say private writings, but sort of non-commercial writings, suggested that he shared that libertarian, classical liberal view of the world, which is... sort of a pleasant surprise to some of us.
Do you wish to confirm that, either of you gentlemen?
It's true enough. He wrote a letter in the 1940s which he thought would never be discovered, which was put in a bottle. And, of course, the way these things happen, the bottle was discovered.
It's always, it's always the way. Yeah. If you put it in a bottle, somebody's always going to find it.
And it was supposed to be opened in 200 years' time to tell people in a world which he thought would then be communist and where everyone's thoughts were controlled.
Interesting.
Exactly what they should do to rebel and regain their freedom. So he was in many ways a liberal, surprisingly.
But Patricia, as a writer, are you always fascinated by what makes us scared?
Not always. I mean, I tend to go for the either make them laugh or cry sort of school of writing. But I do think that what's really interesting is that if he was popular in the 50s, that would have been just after the sort of Second World War. And that these are, to some extent, hard times as well. And I think there's something quite nice about knowing that, okay, money's tight and whatever else, but actually there's something much worse out there that you can be vicariously sort of frightened by. And I do think people enjoy that. The whole sort of, the franchises with the vampire stuff, the werewolf stuff, that sense that there's another world beyond is a very attractive idea for audiences now.
There were many dimensions as well to him, weren't there? I mean, Patrick's just raised one issue, but he was a very strong believer in reincarnation, I think, wasn't he? Well, and that comes through in some of his writing.
Well, he did veer slightly towards Buddhism,
right?
Which is slightly unusual. He had a normal sort of C of E upbringing. But I think he felt that life was such fun that he really wanted to have another go. So he did actually believe in reincarnation, I think for selfish reasons, but it's true.
That's quite a good reason to believe in, it seems to me.
That's quite right. In a will which was later superseded, he actually made a provision that every year there should be a party and all of his friends should gather and raise a toast to Dennis wherever he was and however he'd been reborn.
That's good to say, whoever he is now.
Indeed.
And the reprinting of the books is noticeably quite retro in the look of them, and that's clearly deliberate as well.
Yes, that's Bloomsbury. They figured they should actually have a one-line look across the whole catalogue and settle on this. And it's slightly indeterminate. I mean, it could be anywhere between 1930 and 1950. And they look very attractive, very simple, very attractive.
Mm. So this is going to be a big shift, do you think, in the public consumption of Dennis Wheatley?
We hope so.
You hope so. Well, we shall certainly see. It'll be interesting to see how well it goes down. Certainly nice to see those retro books in the office, which we have seen in the last few days. Thank you both very much indeed for coming in.
Well, thank you.
Charles Beck, Dominic Wheatley. Charles runs the Dennis Wheatley website. Dominic is Dennis's grandson. You're listening to Weekend from the BBC World Service. Our news headlines coming up in just over a minute's time.